Well, as we come to the end of another year, 2019, we are about to enter the third decade of this century. It's a useful time for us to reconsider or reassess our priorities in this life. What's most important to us? In this passage, Paul is warning against false teachers. And one of the main things that he's warning about, we find in verse 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Have you thought about that? That gain is godliness. In other words, that the more you have, the more godly you must be. So that if you are favoured at Christmas, I hope you're not somebody who compares your Christmas presents with your brothers or sisters, but supposing you were to do that and you were to find that you had more Christmas presents worth more money than your brothers and sisters. Well, gain would be godliness on these false teachers' premise. And there may be other ways that you can make that assessment. You could be doing better in your exams, if you're doing better in your exams than somebody else, that you get the prizes. But somebody else doesn't get the prizes, then that's a reward, is it, for godliness? Are we rewarded by the things that we have in this world for being godly? That's the issue here, and it's very subtle, isn't it? Because somebody who does nothing and is lazy will have nothing, and it's not good to be lazy. So plainly, there is a half-truth, isn't there? Someone who works hard deserves to be successful. And there's no doubt that God does require us to apply ourselves, to apply our whole hearts to his service. There's no place for laziness in the kingdom or in the things of this world. But there are teachers who will say that you can, if you are generous to the church, for example, then God will reward you. They talk about sowing. You sow into the church and you'll be rewarded. You'll be given money. God will reward you by making you financially prosperous. And sadly, first of all, there are many churches like that in this country and in this city. And those churches are full because people like the idea that by going to church, they can get rich. By praying for expensive things, God will answer their prayers. There was a teacher in Korea who taught you to imagine things that you wanted. Imagine the perfect husband or wife, and or imagine the car that you want, or the house that you want. You imagine it in your mind and then you pray for it. And a mark of spirituality is that you'll get what you prayed for. It might seem far-fetched, but there are many people that are caught up in this deception. And I think we have to be clear, it is a deception. Because the things of this world pass away. If you look at 1 John chapter 2, it tells us very clearly what happens to the things of this world. Love not the world, verse 15, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lusts thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You see, there's a temporary and there's a permanent. The temporary are the things of this world. And I think you know that. You and I know that. Because some of the presents that we would have had for Christmas, well, they're very exciting, aren't they? Especially if they're the latest gadget. And I think we've had this before. I've mentioned it before. But in a few weeks, you grow tired of it. And if you can imagine what you were given in 2012, for example, I remember going and taking my nephew around Harrods. And in 2012, there was the iPhone 5. And it was possible to buy the iPhone 5 in a gold case with diamonds, diamond-encrusted gold case. This was quite a lot of money, an eye-watering amount of money that you and I wouldn't dream of spending on a phone, let alone anything else. But what good would that be today? A diamond-encrusted iPhone 5? Well, even though it's got diamonds in it, who would want an iPhone 5 today when you can get an iPhone 11? You see, in 2012, they were the rage. But things have moved on. The world passes away. You can't have permanent wealth. You can't have something that makes you permanently happy. It doesn't make you happy anyway, does it? Having these things for their sake, it doesn't. And the Bible warns us about this. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Don't love them. That doesn't mean to say that you can't enjoy them at all, but don't make them your focus. Because if you do, you'll be missing what we should be focusing on, which is serving the Lord. The world passeth away, and the lusts thereof. And all these things, there's something in us that desires the things of this world. Maybe you're thinking now, it's a bit cold, isn't it? I'd like to be in with my sister in Jamaica, for example, or in Ghana with my relatives, or somewhere nice and warm in the Far East. I don't know, because it's cold now, isn't it? We'd probably like to be somewhere warmer. But if we said, right, I'm going to go somewhere warmer, come what may, and I'm going to live my life for what this world can give me, and I'm not concerned about what God's calling might be for my life, all I'm concerned about is pleasing myself. Well, that's doing exactly what John warns us against, isn't it? It's loving the world. It's loving the things that the world offers, and it's loving them more than we love God. And that is a snare, friends. And that goes for our money. You see, the verse that really took me to this passage is just one moment, just let's go back to verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Do you see this verse 10? For the love of money. The love of money. Money is what enables you to go off to these places, isn't it? You can't get off to Jamaica without a healthy bank balance. You have to buy a ticket unless you want to stow away in the back, and then the danger is that you might not come out alive, as people have found to their cost. It costs money to enjoy the things that the world offers, doesn't it? Money itself is not a problem. Some people have lots of it, and some people have very little. But whether you've got a little or a lot, the love of money, the Bible says, is the root of all evil. Now, when we say all evil, we don't mean, it can't mean all evil, because there is some evil that doesn't come from a love of money. But all kinds of evil does come from a love of money. All kinds of evil comes because of what it does to the human heart. You see, you can be rich or poor. I remember when I was in Hong Kong in 1984 with very poor people. They were drug addicts in the walled city, which was a place of terrible poverty, because drug addicts and prostitutes were in there, and it was a terrible place. But this woman, Jackie Pullinger, went in and set up a work to rescue these people. These boys, although they would come out with nothing, they did have aspirations to be wealthy. Some of them. Not saying all of them did, but some of them did. Even though they had nothing, they wanted financial prosperity. So it's not a question of whether we have money or don't have money. It's what is motivating us. What do we want? See, if you're motivated to get wealthy, even though you have nothing now, it will set the course of your life. And we need to be careful, because we're told here that the love of money, putting money above other things, above in particular serving God, is the root of all kinds of evil. And we can see that in particular, this temptation does come to the rich. We see that in verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Wonder if you can think of how that would apply. Means that, would they come to church on Sunday, on the Lord's Day? No, they won't go to church on the Lord's Day. They'd rather go to expensive shops and to buy things perhaps for their wife, buy things for their children, go on expensive holidays. Even, of course, and this is another shocking thing, it can make you be dishonest. Because you so want money, you're willing to go to any lengths to get it. And you will find people even deceiving their closest friends to give them money on a pretext that that money will be invested for them and that they will get reward, whereas in fact the person spends it on his own high life. You will see that, if you read the papers, you will find that many cases come to the criminal courts for that reason. See, people so love money that they're willing to give everything for it. And if you are rich, you've tasted money, you've tasted the high life, and it can become a temptation and a snare for you. And you can fall into many foolish and hurtful lusts. And look where it can end. And this is a shocking thing, isn't it? Which drown men in destruction and perdition. See, what Paul is concerned about here, as he is in all his letters, is where the soul goes. Heaven or hell. These are the issues of life, friends. This is the issue of 2020. Heaven and hell. You might think, well, I've got my A-levels, I've got my GCSEs, I've got a job to worry about, I've got my mortgage to worry about, perhaps. My future. There's one issue, friends. It's our eternal destiny. What are we going to do with our souls? See, Paul wants us to keep our eye on the main point. See, loving money will take us away from our concerns for our souls. We'll be greedy. We will start wanting things which are incompatible with God's call on our lives. And it's God's call on our lives that matter. As we saw in 1 John 2, verse 17, he who does the will of God will abide forever. If you do the will of God, what is the will of God? It's our sanctification. It's our holiness. It's, first of all, of course, it starts with our salvation. Our salvation and then our sanctification. God wants to save our souls. And our souls need saving, don't they? Because we're all men. Verse 5 talks about, we've seen perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, but every man and woman and child has a corrupt mind until they come to Christ, because we're all born in sin. Friends, we need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to repent of our sins. We need to come to Christ. Look at verse 3. Talks about warning about the false teachers, but it also speaks of the wholesome words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has wholesome words, good words, healthy words for us, because he's calling us to repent and believe on him. Believe that he has come to take away our sins. We heard he came to lay down his life for the sheep. The sheep are those that have been appointed from eternity to spend eternity with Christ. And that, there's a command for all of us to repent and believe. You can't say, well, maybe that doesn't include me. The Lord says, repent and believe. And as you repent and believe, you'll be part of God's chosen people, God's elect. See, one way of seeing life as it is to remember where we came from. See, we come in to the world with nothing, don't we? None of us brought anything into this world, did we? The one thing we bring into the world and the one thing we take away, we brought into this world our sinful nature, and we will take out of the world that same sinful nature laden with the sins of a life, of a lifetime. That's the reality, isn't it? Verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Friends, we will take nothing with us from this world. There's no point us amassing riches, is there? Because they're only going to be left for somebody else to enjoy. That on its own is no good. But verse 5 tells us what is good. Verse 6 tells us what is good. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment. And are you content with such things as you have? That's what is meant here. Godliness with contentment is great gain. It is wonderful to be content with your own situation. See, the godly person will be content with Christ in his heart. That's all we need in life. And God will provide such things as we need, as we need them. And think of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. See, the rich man doesn't really have to say that because he takes it for granted. But how wonderful to see the Lord providing what we need. And what should we be happy with? Well, verse 8 tells us, doesn't it? And having food and raiment, that's food and clothing, let us be therewith content. How many of us don't have enough food to eat or clothing in our bodies? Well, I think looking around, we all have the clothing that we need. And I trust we all have eaten the food that we've needed today. None of us have gone hungry. None of us will go hungry. The Bible says, well, that is what we should be content with. So the question is, are we content with these things, or do we go wandering after other things? And there are some characters in the Bible that have fallen very far short because they've gone for other things. Think of Judas. What did Judas do? Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver to betray the Son of God. Demas, we read, He forsook Paul. He went his own way. Demas hath forsaken me, we read in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. Having loved this present world and is departed. He's left because he loved this present world. Terrible thing. He gave up his Christian faith because he loved this present world. And friends, as we go into 2020, what of you? What of me? Will we follow the Lord Jesus into 2020? Or will we, like Demas, give up church, give up our faith because we want to get on in the world? We want the things that this world offers. Friends, let's be very careful about that. See, being a Christian means giving up all those ambitions. You remember the story, it's not a parable, it's a story, it's a true story of the rich young ruler. You'll find it in Matthew chapter 19. And he says, verse 16, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honour thy father and thy mother, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Of course, no one has kept all the commandments of God. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So this man wasn't really being strictly true. And the Lord Jesus saw his problem. Verse 21. Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. You see, this man loved his wealth. It's not a question of merely having wealth, friends. Having wealth is neutral. Having much, well, there's much we can do about it. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, this is what he says. This is what Paul says. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Don't trust in your riches. Don't think you're better than other people. That's the problem with being rich. People look up to rich people, don't they? They make friends of rich people. And rich people are inclined to feel proud because they've got more than other people. Charge them not to be like that, not to be high-minded, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And what does he tell them to do with their money? Does Paul say, like to the rich young ruler, sell everything, give it to the poor? No. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. In other words, that they be generous with what they've had, ready to give away. But not to give everything away. The Christian life isn't about everybody having rags. But it is about our hearts putting Christ first and putting everything else, including wealth, second. And the problem is with wealth is it brings us into temptation. Verse 9 of our reading, 1 Timothy chapter 6. But they that will be rich, it's interesting the way it's said, isn't it? But they that will be rich, in other words, those that want to be rich, those that put being rich first on their priority, they fall into temptation and the snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. You see, riches can hurt people. And we've seen it. It leads to drug addiction, it leads to alcoholism, it leads to all sorts of problems if we have a wrong view of wealth. And they can lead you to hell. Many rich people will be in hell because they wouldn't give up their wealth. And of course, it's that love, isn't it? Where is our love, friends? Where are we putting our priorities for 2020? Are we putting them in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he sufficient for you and for me? Will we trust him for what we need? Going back to what his charge to the rich, to trust in the living God. Charge them that are rich in the world that they be not high-minded, not trust, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Will you and I trust in the living God? Will we use what we have to lay up in store, verse 19, in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life? Friends, will you and I lay hold on eternal life for 2020? Will we make heaven our aim, taking hold of those promises in Christ? Think of Moses. This is to be my final example before we come to a close. If you just go to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 24. Here was a man who was born in a very rich household. He had everything. He was one of those fairy tales. He'd been put in a little, as we know, this little cot, floated down the Nile, picked up by Pharaoh's daughter, brought up in Pharaoh's palace. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused all the titles that he was entitled to as Pharaoh's daughter. As the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Friends, sin is for a season. The love of money leads to a love of sin. Friends, that's what we must shun. That's what we must shun in 2020. Rather, what will we choose? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Being a Christian in this life is not easy. It will come with many trials. But you're God's children. God will see us through. He will lead us. He will grant us his peace. Remember, godliness with contentment is great gain. Going back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. You'll never gain more than being at peace with God. Being thankful. Learning that secret that Paul learned, that whether in much or in little, he had learnt to be grateful. He says that in Philippians chapter 4. He says this in verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. He knows how to have little, he knows what it's like to have little, and he knows what it's like to have much. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. All things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That should be our verse, shouldn't it, for 2020. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Whether I have much or whether I have little, Christ will be the centre of my life. Amen.